Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you tonight until midnight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless and use the program tonight for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the same time, help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. Lord, we just pray you bless the program. Use it for your purposes tonight. Thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. If you're not in northeastern Ohio, that's midway between Akron and Cleveland, Ohio, if you look on a map here in northeastern Ohio. And we had our 40th anniversary of our church here today, and we had a great time. And way too much food. So if I start snoring in the middle of the program tonight, it's because I had too much good food. I mean, we had pulled pork, we had fried chicken, we had stuffed cabbage, we had stuffed peppers, we had sausage and, Polish sausage and cabbage, the thing you mix it together with some potatoes and stuff. That's always good. And a whole host of other things to fill you up and make you tired and sleepy for the rest of the day. And we had a busy time. We also had our good friend Eric Howitt is a gospel soloist, and he lives out toward Warren, Ohio. He came out, and he's been coming out for 20 some years now, and I've been the pastor there for 25 years, and I think he's been coming out about 21 of those years. And he provided some special music, and then he had the challenge that he gets every year after everybody has eaten well and it's warm and they're sitting there. He sings and has the challenge of keeping everybody awake while he sings. And it was a double challenge today. Our air conditioning went out, and it was warm, 80-some degrees outside, and we got by with fans. We said, it's like old-fashioned Sunday today. Remember what it was like when you didn't have air conditioning at church? I remember the church that I grew up in. We had windows. That was our air conditioning. We had windows. And then later, in addition to the windows, and maybe some of you remember this, the fans that oftentimes are not fans like the ceiling fans, but I'm talking about the handheld fan, the little one that folds up and then you open it up and you fan yourself with it. You hold it in your hand and wave it back and forth. And oftentimes there would be some that would be in the back of the pew or something like that, where the songbooks were. There sometimes be these little fans. Some churches even had fans that had, some kind of a gospel message or Bible verse or picture or something on them and different things. But that's what we had. And if you were lucky, you got to sit near somebody that, like maybe in front of somebody that had one of those fans, and they'd go at it. And you could pick up a little bit of the breeze from them. But then later on, the church added some in-window fans. They were windows window fans that went into the window, and then the window was kind of one of those windows that you pull up and down, and you would bring it down on top of the fan, then turn the fans on, and that would either vent air from inside to the outside or pull air from the outside inside. And so then we had those for a while. I think they've since added air conditioning, though. Yeah, I can still remember when churches advertised, our air-conditioned sanctuary, because that was a novel thing for a lot of people. A lot of people grew up without air conditioning. I can remember people across the street, they lived in one house, and there was a vacant field between their house and their grandmother's house. And so their parents built a house in that vacant field, and it was a new house, and they put air conditioning in. I remember that being the first house I ever went into with air conditioning. We never had it growing up, and I can remember thinking how cold it was in their house during the summertime. But now, you know, so many of us are so used to air conditioning, you can't hardly live without it. But so we had an experience today, and the fan's going, and the temperature slowly going up during the course of the day. We had some fans pulling in some cool air in the morning. But think about it. That's a lot of churches. Even down south, you didn't have air conditioning. And we were talking about different tricks that people would use to overcome some of the heat. And we were talking about how oftentimes a building, like an apartment building or a hotel or something, or office building would be built where you had transoms over the doors, which was over top of the door, there would be a like a window type affair. And you would open the transom and open the windows in the room, and the air would come in through the window, and then the transom being over the door, as it warmed, the warm air would go up, out the transom into the hallway, and then you had a central stairwell that would conduct air up to the top of the building and vent it out the top of the building, and you would get a circulation of air. And anybody that's dealing with the warm weather without air conditioning, you know, oftentimes it's the circulation of the air that's key. If you can keep that air moving, you're much more comfortable. Well, we kept the air moving, and nobody fainted, nobody had any problems, and we had a good time, and it was a little challenging staying awake in the warm room with a full belly, though. Of course, we're in a commercial space, and we don't have windows that can open, so we had a door in the front and a door in the back, and trying to get the air sucked in one and blown out the other. So challenge, but, you know, hey, it's only been in recent time in human history that we've been able to enjoy the benefits of air conditioning. So I hope you had a good time at church today. We had a great time and a lot of good fellowship. And, you know, if the Lord tarries in his coming, hopefully it won't be another 40 years before the Lord comes back. But if he tarries in his coming, I hope he does give us another 40 years to continue to serve him. If it's only another 40 days to serve him, well, that's fine, too. We just look forward to being able to share the gospel, encourage people in their walk with Christ, and looking forward to the day that we'll all be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. Well, talking about that, and I didn't mention our website. And as I said, I'm the pastor, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You can find us online. Go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can, amongst other things, learn more about me, about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. There's links to our church. And you can also listen to past programs, read some articles and different things that are all available there at livewithpastoral.com. And I want to mention a couple of things in regards to our past programs for a moment here before we get to our callers. We, of course, for those who are listening here in northeastern Ohio on AM 1220 The Word, you know, we have a Friday afternoon program, a half-hour program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. It streams live on the website, which is whkwradio.com. That'll get you there. Or if you just do a search, or even go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, you can find links. And I did a program this past Friday talking about what's called the central bank digital currencies. And so a few things that are on there in regards to that, but I'm mentioning it because if you're interested in that, coming up on September 30th, not this coming Friday, but a The last Friday of the month, happens to be the last day of the month, I have Gary Ka, who is lined up to be with us. And Gary Ka has a ministry. He's a former, formerly involved in international banking. And I'm not going to get too much into his biography right now, but he was pretty much involved in international banking, traveling Europe and all that, and working for the state of Indiana and all. He got saved, and he began seeing the things that were happening in the banking industry, and began seeing some of the moves that were being made on an international level towards, the globalist agenda and what we now see referred to as the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, Prince Charles, now King Charles III in Great Britain, and others who are very heavily involved in that. And the idea of bringing together a global currency in order to help bring about a global world government. And so he's going to be on with us on September 30th. I'll be mentioning this again next week. If you can't listen live, we will be getting the link to the program up, hopefully. I'm going to make an effort to get that up a little bit sooner, hopefully on the following day or something. And I think you will find it interesting. Gary Ka has a good overview from his background in international finance and things to be able to analyze this and tell you what's going on. And like I said, I touched on some of those things in last Friday's program. You can find that at livewithpastoral.com. And they just click on the link there on the programs for, let's see, do I have it? I hope I have it listed there. This would be the 16th. I got so much stuff going on here, I may not actually have it listed. This is what happens when you don't have somebody you can turn this over to and direct it to. Let me just double check, because I thought I had it listed on here. I may not. I know I have it listed on our Facebook page, but just realized it's not on there. Maybe after the program tonight, I'll get a few minutes when I get home, and I'll try and get that listed for you. But at any rate, these are things that are happening, and these central bank digital currencies, not to be confused with the cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and things like that. Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies have unique properties that differentiate it from what these central bank digital currencies will be. One thing in particular is that the Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are permissionless. Anyone can use it, and they can use it how they want. It's also decentralized, meaning there's no central authority that can control the cryptocurrencies. The central bank digital currencies will be exact opposite of that, exactly what they're described as, owned by the central bank. And the United States is looking at this. Biden had signed an executive order on March the 9th, Executive Order 14067, ensuring the responsible development of digital assets, that talks about this. And there's a call for being able to institute some of it by December 13th, I believe. And a number of the European central banks are working on this. There's over 100 countries that are either working on it or have actually introduced it already. And this is not permissionless, and it's not decentralized. It is going to be tightly controlled by the central banks. And what we were talking about on the program last Friday, we'll also be looking at it with Gary Ka, and invite you to consider this yourself in Revelation chapter 13, where we see the mark of the beast, and know the central bank digital currency that's being issued by some countries is not the mark of the beast, but it is setting the stage. And developing the tools necessary so that the mark of the beast in Revelation 13 can be instituted so that no man can buy or sell save you have the mark. There's a lot more to that, and we'll be talking about that in the weeks ahead, looking at some developments there. But I do want to remind you not to be overwhelmed by these things, because the Bible says in Luke 21, as we've said many times, Jesus said in Luke 21, verse 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." If you know Christ as your Savior, and we see these things begin to fall in place, it should be a time of excitement for the believer, looking forward to soon being with our Lord. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to go to our first caller. But just before I do that, I do have to say to all of our Air Force veterans out there and current active duty reserve Air Force members. I'm an Air Force veteran myself, as I've mentioned before. Today is the 75th anniversary of the United States Air Force, or I guess you could call it the 75th birthday. The Air Force, of course, came out of the Army Air Forces. One of my uncles was in the Army Air Forces during World War II, and then my other uncle was in the new Air Force in the early days of the new Air Force. And so I got one uncle in each, and then I served in the United States Air Force in the 1980s. I spent most of my time in the Electronic Security Command, which I'm trying to think, about 1980 or 79, 80, somewhere in there, was renamed the Electronic Security Command. Prior to that, it had been the United States Air Force Security Service, and then since that time, it went through some other name changes and the Air Force Intelligence Agency, different things like that. I thoroughly enjoyed the time that I got to spend there in the United States Air Force. I would have stayed in longer, left the Air Force in order to go into the ministry. Otherwise, I would have stayed in the Air Force and had some opportunities that were presented to me, but God had a greater opportunity and called me into His service. And so I left the Air Force and went into the ministry. This is the 75th anniversary of United States Air Force, so certainly I just want to thank all of our Air Force veterans out there in current active duty and reserve Air Force members, Air National Guard, all of us, you know, working together, and appreciate what you're doing and appreciate what the veterans have done and in securing the safety and the freedom and the security of this nation. And certainly invite you to give us a call tonight if you're out, maybe share something. There's a lot of people who were called into the ministry when I was in the Air Force. It wasn't just me. The base that I was stationed at, RAF Chicksands in England, we had a missionary station who came there near where our base was and started an independent Baptist church, and a great number of men were called into the ministry through that little church, Chicksands Baptist Church, and a number of men and women came to Christ while they were there. And then there are many of the other bases that we had in England, RAF Alconbury, for instance. I had friends that were there. And there was also another large independent Baptist work there called Alconbury Baptist Church. And perhaps there's somebody listening that may have been at one of those bases or one of those churches or one of the other ones there in England. But it wasn't just England. There were a number of good churches, gospel-preaching, Bible-believing churches associated with Air Force bases in England, in Japan, Guam, Spain, Italy, all around the world and across the United States, Alaska and Hawaii and the contiguous 48, and it just a number of people came, either got saved in one of these missionary churches or churches outside of Air Force bases, or like myself, were already saved but rededicated their life to the Lord in one of those churches, and many people called into the gospel ministry through those churches. And so in addition to saluting all the Air Force members, active and reserve and Air Force veterans, I certainly want to salute those missionaries and those pastors and lay people in many churches across the country and around the world who reached out to Air Force members through their church or their work that was established near an Air Force base. And, you know, it wasn't just the Air Force. It was the Army, Navy, Marines. They were reaching quite a number of people. But my experience, having been in the Air Force, my experience was with those reaching Air Force. So I want to thank them for the work that they did. I would not be here tonight were it not for the United States Air Force and then missionaries that worked and ran the church, guided the church outside of our base in England. Were it not for those two things, and of course the Lord Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here tonight doing what I'm doing. And so I appreciate the work that's being done, it has been done, and is still being done. Well, like I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673, and we are going to Cheryl in Medina, Ohio right now. And Cheryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here, Pastor Al.
Well, glad to have you with us tonight.
Well, this is my question.
Yes.
Or I'd like you to explain, actually. Well, as you say, about 60% of the pastors in the United States do not have a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my understanding is in the Bible, the word government occurs, but not politics. And it seems like some of them make a real distinction. Well, and some of them, no, they don't think pastors should be involved at all. Some of them might say, yes, government, not politics. So I wonder if you could distinguish, you know, government and politics and what rightly pastors should be concerned about and involved in, and or both of them.
Well, that is an interesting question. When we think about the difference between government and politics and what we as believers ought to do. I know you would separate the two in practice, but in reality, they're very, very related, because politics basically has to do with the governing. And, you know, we think of government as in the setup of people, you know, in terms of being able to lead and establish laws and uphold the laws and things of that nature. Remember, Moses was given advice by his father-in-law that he was, you know, he was taking too much on himself. This is in Exodus chapter 18 here. Moses' father-in-law Jethro saw Moses sitting there. This is when they came out of Egypt. God led the Jewish people out of Egypt, and as they're heading out, he had given them some laws, basically. And Moses was the leader. He was God's man. And Moses was sitting there from, practically from sunup to sundown, you know, listening to a steady line of people coming through with questions and disputes and all of that. And his father-in-law came out to see him as they were traveling through the wilderness area there. And he said, listen, Moses, this isn't good. You're going to run yourself ragged, and the people are going to get discouraged. And, of course, I'm paraphrasing there. And he advises Moses to establish people over them, leaders over them, and teach the people the laws and everything, and then allow the leaders to hear the disputes at the lower levels. And in fact, this is what we see happening, for time's sake, coming down here to Exodus chapter 18, verse 24, it says, so Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. So basically, it was a decentralized sort of thing. And the more difficult the case was, the more difficult the dispute, the higher up the chain it went. You could start with the rulers of tens, and if that didn't get the suitable resolution or understanding, they go to the rulers of fifties, then to the rulers of hundreds, then to the rulers of thousands. And then after it reached that level, that's when it would go to Moses. And so these men that were selected there, this was a style of government that God allowed here, and I believe he used Jethro to advise Moses, and God blessed this, and we can see that kind of today. We have constitution, we have laws and everything, and to be a good citizen, you should understand the constitution and the laws in which we live by, and then really, things should be settled at the lowest level possible, only the major things making it up to the top. And so now you have government in place with leaders and judges and things like that making decisions for the people and making decisions which affect the people. And the politics then comes in. How do you go about influencing these government officials? How do you go about influencing or introducing policy? And so it becomes a whole science. You see the difference?
Yeah.
So they're very closely related in really in practical purposes. I don't know how you can really separate the two, because in order to govern, you have to practice politics, so they go together. But a lot of pastors, they have just said, well, it's too divisive. I'm not talk about it. I'm not going to get involved in it. It's too divisive. I don't want to offend somebody. So they self-censor themselves, they silence themselves, they abdicate the role that they have as in terms of guiding their people into understanding how we as Christians ought to relate to human government, and they turn it over to the world and then get upset when the world acts like the world. You know, I always like to joke, especially here in northeastern Ohio, you always get the annual rivalry between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. And you got some people who are adamant Steelers fans, some people adamant Browns fans. And I say, yeah, the pastors will say, oh, well, you know, we don't want to talk about politics. It's too divisive. How about that Browns Steelers game yesterday? If that's not divisive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure every place where people are listening, there's the arch rivals, and you know, it divides people left and right. But this is an area that pastors need to talk about what's going on in human government, because human government that we have, and governments were ordained by God, government affects our freedom to be able to preach the gospel. Government and politics, you know, we need to practice politics. Pastors should weigh in, tell people to sign petitions, tell people to check out, decisions that are being made, and to follow what's happening at the state house, at the county level, at the local level, and at the federal level, and encourage people to get involved, because guess what? The pro-life issue, which is very political, right? It's very political. But if a pastor can't weigh in on the pro-life issue on the basis of that being a moral issue, then he might as well, you know, hang up his Bible and go home, because the Bible talks about life and protecting the innocent. And so I know we're coming up on the break. If you need to, we can hold you over the break. Do you want to do that?
That would be fine, but I think you've given a really good answer. It's interesting how almost like pastors get an excuse by saying they're not supposed to be involved in politics, as if that is
right. Well, hold that thought. We got about 5 seconds. We'll have a break. We'll be right back in just a little bit. Stay tuned. We've got our half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can listen to past programs, you can read some articles and things that are there, and a variety of other things that are there. And of course, we're sponsored by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and located in Richfield, Ohio. You can link to that from our site there as well. Certainly invite you to visit us if you're in the area. And also brought to you and sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back right away into our callers. We've got several callers lined up. We were talking with Cheryl prior to the break about government versus politics and being involved as Christians and pastors that should be involved but aren't involved, and some of the reasons for that. Cheryl, are you still with us?
Yes.
I am. And
yes.
Actually, I thought of another, aspect as mm-hmm. I was waiting here, and that is regarding levels of authority. Because as you talk, you know, you obey the highest authority. And if your leaders tell you to do something, but it is contraindicated by a higher level,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the Declaration of Independence, then you obey the Declaration of Independence. And then if it is contraindicated, you know, by God, well, you obey the top authority. However, it seems like politics doesn't deal with that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems like something that where they're really different.
Well, and like we were talking about in the last half hour, you know, the government, you understand, it's kind of like the tool, so to speak, you know, the framework and everything, and then politics is like kind of how to use it and influence it and wield it, mm-hmm. In a sense. And I was going to say, too, with what you said about authority and lines of authority, we understand the Bible talks about being obedient to those in authority over us, but it's not blind obedience. I mentioned in the last half hour, this is the 75th anniversary of the United States Air Force, and it was while in the United States Air Force that I surrendered to the ministry, actually rededicated my life to the Lord. I was saved before I went in the Air Force, just not living for God. And in the Air Force, thanks to a missions work outside of our base, RAF Chicksands in England, where I was stationed, United States Air Force, but in England, it was there that I rededicated my life to the Lord and got called in the ministry. And then when I had the opportunity, I got out of the Air Force to go into the ministry full time. But one of the things I learned in the Air Force, and others in the military learned this, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, is the idea of lines of authority. And we're not allowed to take the excuse of, well, I was just obeying orders. We were called to disobey illegitimate orders. We were to obey all lawful orders. But if the order was an unlawful or illegitimate order, we were not to obey that. And that, of course, came out of the Nuremberg trials after World War II, where a lot of the Nazis used the excuse in the death camps, well, I was just obeying orders. No. And so we understand that when it comes to human government, there is a hierarchy here. And for instance, the government says something, we're here in the state of Ohio, if the local community decides to do something that state law says they can't do, and they're having this problem, for instance, with some cities in Ohio, Ohio has a heartbeat bill, and pray for that. It's being challenged again, and it's on a temporary hold, which is kind of reducing the effect of the heartbeat bill. A lot of lives that would have been saved are being lost again, and it's on a 2-week hold that went on last week. But there were communities. I think Lakewood here was getting into a kerfluffle. A friend of mine, Pastor John Lutz, the North Coast Baptist Church, they were talking about this, and he was talking about this on his program, which is on the local station here, and they were saying, we're going to ignore the state law. And the law director was saying, you can't do that. It's the state law. And the Ohio Attorney General is saying, you can't do that. It's state law. So there's a higher authority than the state, than the local government. It was the state government. But likewise, with the federal government, if the federal government makes a decree that violates the Constitution, they're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go with the Constitution, because that's got a higher authority than Congress. It's got a higher authority than the president. It's got a higher authority than the Supreme Court. And then, of course, as Christians, we understand that there's a higher authority than the U.S. Constitution and the U.S. Declaration of Independence. And that higher authority for us is God and His Word, right? And so a lot of people don't understand this delegation of authority, lines of authority, and obeying legitimate or lawful laws or orders, just like you learn in the military. that you are required to disobey unlawful orders. And as Christians, we should understand that too, because the government affects us. And for instance, over in China, where the Chinese Communist government is telling Christians in their churches, you have to have a picture of the Chinese president on your wall and you have to bow down to it. Well, you know, that's not much different than when in Rome at the time, you know, in the first century, second century, when they were persecuting Christians because they said, listen, you can worship anything, any god or goddess you want, or as many as you want, as long as once a year you bow down before an image of Caesar or a picture of Caesar or whatever and acknowledge him as God. Well, Christians could obey all the various orders, but they could not do that. And going further back, it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in Babylon, and the image of Nebuchadnezzar was made, and when the music played, everybody was to stop, and they were to bow before this image, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, they're captive, they said, we can't do it. And, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was incensed over that and ended up throwing them into the fiery furnace. And he was so upset they heated the furnace up so much that the people who threw him in were killed, but they were not touched. And God delivered them from the fiery furnace. But they were willing to risk even death because they said, we cannot bow to the image of a man because we can only bow before God. And so we have a shortage of Christians, unfortunately, and pastors that are willing to say these things. So I know we've talked about this for quite a while, but I hope that helps, though, Cheryl.
Well, yeah. I think it's a really good, relevant comparison for where we're living now.
Yeah, so I know I got some other callers I got to get to, but I'm just going to say in conclusion, Christians and pastors should be leading in their churches, helping their people in their churches to understand the issues that confront us, not only so we can pray for government, like the Bible says we ought to pray for our leaders, but also so we can know what's going on and weigh in and allow our voices to be heard. When you've got governments, local governments, state governments, and even the federal government trying to tell you that a boy that thinks he's a girl isn't really a boy, despite his biology, and vice versa. You know, Christians need to be aware of that and use the political process to bring influence, godly influence, upon the wheels of government to change those ungodly policies. So
agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
So,
yep.
How you can be a born again Christian and shy away from government and politics is beyond me. So, but yeah. I do want to thank you, Cheryl. I'm going to get to our other callers here tonight. Appreciate that call this evening here, and we've got Tom calling from Akron, Ohio tonight, or in Akron area. But Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you for a while.
Well, it's good to hear you. How you doing?
Okay, good. Yeah, busy. I finished the book, so we'll be talking to you about it.
Oh, yes. I was thinking about that just the other day. For our listeners, Tom has been writing a book that sort of was based on his family history, but it also talks about Christian history here in Ohio, doesn't it?
Oh, all about American history, revolution, everything.
Yeah, I guess more than just Ohio, Christian history in America. So, we'll definitely have to talk about that. But, yeah, good to hear from you tonight.
Yeah. So I got a question for you. So,
yes, sir.
It's interesting because early on in the show you mentioned that, well, maybe we'll be around another 40 years. But I was always led to believe that even though we can't, you know, nobody knows the exact hour or the day that Christ is coming.
Mm-hmm.
He did indicate in the scriptures, I think, that we can know the season.
Right. And it's not the day nor the hour, but we know the season.
And that a certain generation that sees all these signs beginning to come to pass, they would not all pass away. So pastors over the years I've listened to on the radio have said that, well, that generation either began in 1948 or 1967, but a lot of people think it began around 1948 when Israel came back into the land.
Well, and that's so certainly something that would indicate it, yeah.
So I'm just wondering, how could we stretch it another 40 years because everybody would be dead that saw that happen?
Well, and I agree. I mean, when I was saying that, I was basically throwing out 40 years just as a number. But no, you're absolutely right. I don't see how it could go on for four more years personally. I mean, 4 years ago, I would have said the same thing, but we're obviously still here.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do know that the Bible talks about knowing that we're in the season, and like Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse number 6, where he said, "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And he's talking about watching for these things. And, you know, some pastors...
Yeah, and it was a real interesting talk you had with that lady on the phone just prior.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there thinking about some of the things you were saying. And I agree, you know, we need to get involved, you know, where we can with whatever, even if that just means going and voting. But here's the thing, though. You know, we think about conservatism and Christianity going hand in hand, but that's not always the case today. We have a lot of Republicans that are moderate and maybe aren't even really true Christian believers.
Oh, absolutely. And there's, you know, there's even some that don't like the believers.
So really finding the true statesmen that really understand the values and the virtues of what this country was founded on and, you know, aligning them up with the principles of God and Holy Scripture, that's getting to be very difficult because we're seeing such a radical shift even in the Republican Party, I think, that, you know, I think that really politics cannot save us. I think only Christ can intervene and, you know, change the course of destiny that we're on.
Well, and absolutely. And see, I believe that it's like the tide is rolling in and we're sandbagging against the tide, protecting an area to a degree, but eventually it's going to be overwhelming. You know, I'm not one of these people who thinks that we're just getting better and better and eventually Jesus is just going to be so impressed with our successes that he's just going to say, well, I just might as well take up residence there and rule over the world. No, it's getting worse and worse.
But look at how many Republicans have gotten into office and then broke their promises and disappointed us and then, you know, and then went ahead and voted against things we wanted. You know?
Well, and how about this? How many Republican speakers of the House have we had here in the Ohio State House that have been ushered out essentially under arrest?
I know.
It's terrible.
Well, I tell you, I never would imagine when I was a little boy growing up in the late 50s and early 60s that this country would, that I would live to see the things that are taking place in America. It's just incredible.
Well, and, you know, we were talking about the things that are happening with the different political parties, but, you know, if we want to be a godly influence, and I believe that we're called to be salt and light, and I think part of that's being involved in the political scene, we do need to get involved rather than sit back and do nothing because, you know, the Lord will be coming back one of these days.
I agree with you, Pastor, but I'll tell you what. It's not so much the politics in America that's ruining America. It's the people themselves, like ancient Israel, that have turned away from God.
Right.
And we have so many young people out there today that really have no interest in the things of God, or even if they believe in God at all.
Yeah.
And so we've got a total generational disconnect going on.
Oh, and when you look at the demographics, the younger people are in generations-wise, the less interest there is, it seems to be, in God. But I was going to say something here, and I got a couple more callers as well yet tonight, Tom. But I was going to say, when you look at this, the idea, remember when Jesus was talking about, and you brought it up before, about the generation that sees Israel coming back into land, and in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says this, I'll start in verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled, which tells us that we're in that terminal generation. But notice what he says in verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But, verse 37, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what was the days of Noah like? Increasing wickedness and ungodliness, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what we see.
Every man, well, the Bible says every man did what was right in his own eyes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we see happening, you know, in the world today. It's like in the days of Noah. And people are turning a blind eye to the things of God, and even Christians are turning a blind eye to the prophecies of the Lord's return. And Second Peter, you know, he warned that there would be scoffers, referring to the second coming.
What we need more than anything, if things are going to change, is we need a revival. So.
Yeah. But, you know,
we should be praying for too.
And we want to reach as many people as we can, but, you know, we are in that terminal generation, and eventually, you know, the trumpet will sound, and we'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And then, you know, the things that are being prepared right now, the world government, world economic system, all that will come to fore, and the Antichrist will be revealed, and the tribulation period will begin.
Well, there you go. I mean, there came a day when God closed the door of the ark, and that was it. It was too late for the people outside.
Well, and that's what Jesus went on to say, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and the day that Noah entered in the ark, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And he's really talking about the catching away of the believers first and foremost, because then the judgment, which would be the tribulation, coming on the earth, like the flood did.
Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you, Tom. God bless. Good to hear from you tonight. We'll talk about that book later. So thanks for calling tonight. Appreciate it. God bless. And we have got Nancy, who is waiting patiently for us tonight. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. And thank you for inviting me to your 40th anniversary. It was just wonderful.
Oh, we had a good time. Glad you were able to be there with us today.
Yes, I drove myself. It's the very first time, and you know, it's about 25 miles from my house, and I tried to get a bunch of different people to drive me, but anyhow, I said, if they're not going to drive me, I'm going to drive. It wasn't that bad.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, the food, the fellowship, the music, everything was just perfect. And, you know, the lack of air conditioning didn't bother me as much today because you had all those fans around.
Mm-hmm.
What a great turnout.
Yeah, we had a good turnout, and it was kind of nice. I mean, it was nice. The temperature went up slowly. We didn't go in there with it hot, so it was cooler when we started because of the night air last night.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question today is on Exodus 20:16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, we're not supposed to question God's word, but wouldn't it be better to say, witness the gospel to every creature? It says you're using the word witness, but
well,
you know, we're not supposed to.
Yeah, let me tie that in with, let me take a look here. I want to say Deuteronomy chapter 19. Let me take, yeah, here it is.
Oh.
Deuteronomy 19, there's a section where God deals at length with those that bear false witness. Because bearing false witness is basically lying about your neighbor.
Oh, okay.
And putting up lies against him, false accusations and things.
Oh, okay.
And see, in Deuteronomy chapter 19, This is a passage that if I had the ability to do it, I would put it in our legal system and adopt this. I think it would get rid of most of the frivolous lawsuits. But let me just read this. Deuteronomy 19, starting verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if a witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. And notice what he says here: so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And then he says in verse 20, and those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Now think about that. Somebody is a false witness, and they falsely accuse somebody of doing something. And let's say they, just to make it easy, we're running out of time. I've got one more caller to get to, and they demand $10 million. I want $10 million. Make them pay me $10 million. And they be found to be a false witness. If we had this in place, guess what? They now owe $10 million to the person they testified against falsely. Wouldn't that cut down on a few lawsuits?
Oh, well, absolutely.
If they had to pay.
Yeah, these lawsuits are so frivolous.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, so the false witness, there's lying about somebody, and it's not just just lying to somebody. It's lying about them, trying to get them in trouble, trying to falsely accuse them of things. And God takes that very seriously.
Like slander, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's part of it right there. Very malicious. Yes.
I know you've got about one more minute. Terry
yeah.
Probably
yeah, I'm going to get Terry next here. But thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that. And we've got Terry who's been waiting patiently as well. Terry, we're going to squeeze in our call from Canada yet tonight. Welcome.
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm glad you're with us.
And I was going to just mention real quick that, you know, like as Christians, we face a lot of opposition.
Yes, we do.
You know, when we speak the truth of God's word, there's going to be people that are going to hate us, even people in our own churches.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And but yet we still have to speak the truth, and you know, speak the truth in love. The Bible says.
That's right, and you know, I face a lot of opposition when it comes to you know, once saved, always saved.
Yeah,
I face a lot of opposition.
Well, it really hurts some people. Hey, we got about 15 seconds left, so. Oh, 10 seconds left, but Terry got less than five now, but I want to thank you for calling. Sorry we couldn't get you on early. I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.